Welcome to the Creatives Experience Podcast, hosted by yours truly, Isaac Whedon. On each episode, I will be speaking with artists and bringing you in on their life, faith, and creative experience. I'm excited for you to be joining us today. Thank you for listening. So without further ado, let's get to it. Hey guys, thanks so much for tuning into this week's episode of the Creatives Experience Podcast. I am privileged to share with you. I have a very, very talented as well as, I would say, successful artist and producer who has been really killing the game in regards to not only pushing the, I would say, the ceiling in regards to what music can sound like and what production can be. The one and only On Beat Music is on with me today, and we're going to talk about a lot of things ranging from music production to what it is to live as a full-time artist, producer, what it's like working with artists, what difficulties or different struggles there are pursuing something full-time and trusting God in the midst of that. So if you are an artist in the musical sense, I believe you'll be very blessed with this episode. But before we dive into that, we're just kind of a quick message from our sponsor this week. And without me going any further, let's jump to that. All right, dope. So On Beat, thank you so much, bro. For those who don't know your name, are you cool with sharing your actual name? So because for the longest time, I'm like, who's this On Beat dude?
So yeah, On Beat Music. You can call everybody calls me OB. So
that's right. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, it okay. Stands for. I mean, I don't mind giving my full name. Yeah. My name's O'Brien. That's where I got my name On Beat Music from my real name.
Oh, cool.
So O'Brien Martinez is my original name, and or my government name, original name, right?
legal name,
and I wanted it to mean something, yeah. And my first producer name that I thought of was One Blood, which was the corniest thing ever. Yes, man, bro.
I don't want to rip on you, bro. That's
no, hilarious. Hey, I say it for a good reason. I say it because I think people need to understand the importance of marketing and branding,
yes,
like yourself.
Yes, yes,
so
yes, yes, yes.
When I had came up with the name One Blood, I was like trying to be super spiritual, like, oh, it's gotta be like this and this, yeah, and this and that. Yeah. And I was like, nope, I gotta change that really quick. So I wanted my name to mean something. So On Beat Music, OBM is like my initials, like O'Brien Martinez. Yeah. So On Beat Music, I've been a drummer since I was 10 years old. And I wanted it to be like, oh, signify that as well. And On Beat also means like, I was trying to make it like a meaning as well, like being on beat in life. Like,
cool, yeah. Cool. Yeah, that's dope. Yeah. A multifaceted word.
Yeah, nobody's asked me that question. Like, where did you get On Beat Music from?
Well, you heard it here first, folks.
Hey, for real, that's funny. I've done a ton of interviews and nobody's asked me that question.
See, so bro, because I asked the right questions. Oh, I'm kidding, man. So really though, man, I'm privileged to have you on here today, honestly. You have been, like I mentioned to you earlier, real encouragement to me as a fellow producer, and also has absolutely and has. It's really challenged me to like also see that it's possible for me to offer production as a, I don't want to say service. Would that be the wrong word?
It depends on what.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I guess service. Yeah, so. In the beginning, I'm like, oh, I got to be my own artist. I got to be, because first I started DJing, right? And then I'm like, all right, well, if I'm going to DJ, I need my own song. So I started doing my own songs. And then as I shifted from making just house music to like more hip hop, lo-fi beat type stuff, I realized, well, now I need vocals and I don't really have any singers. So I'm like, oh, I'm going to try singing. And then later on, God's like, I want you to rap. I'm like, are you kidding me? This is like a constant stretch. But this year, I've really come to peace with it being okay to just produce, like, yeah, there's nothing wrong, yeah, with production, you know? Yeah. And I've come to understand there are not that many like good producers.
No. I mean, yes, there is, but when you, when you calculate like everybody in the world, no, there isn't. Yeah. So yeah, I mean that actually like, cause I get surprised sometimes. I'm like, and I'm not doing this in like in a sense of like prideful way. So I hope that
it could be
like
confidence.
That. Yeah, I'm just more confident in the fact that I'm like when I hear certain beats on the radio, I'm yeah. like I could have done something better than that.
Well, no, for sure.
Yeah. So in the same sense, like I say in that sense because in our circle, mm-hmm. in our Christian hip hop circle, I feel like we have some really dope producers, but it's not enough. Mm-hmm. It's not enough compared mm-hmm. to the amount of rappers that we have.
Yeah, it's like an overload of rappers, yeah.
Right. So, and I understand, like, to an extent, because I tell people this all the time. I'm like, man, when I first started even getting interested in Christian hip-hop, I was like, you know what? I'm going to be a Christian hip-hop rapper. Mm. And that lasted for, like, a week. and then I realized, like, in my calling of like doing music,
that's good.
I realized that God wanted me to do something where I was more in the background of things.
Cool.
Which was, you know, music production. I had dabbled with music production like back in high school.
Yeah.
But I never was really too interested like in it. Like the way I am now, I would say like I was more of a drummer back then, and okay. I started like you know drumming for a band because I was like really into pop punk. That's like my favorite genre. Mm. So I was really into pop punk. I started drumming for this band, and we were doing really really well. And then God saved me. I got kicked out of the band before that, but wow. God saved me right really really right after that. And then I started hearing more about Christian hip hop. I knew about it like in 06, 07. Like I heard like, you know, the 116 click. Like at the time, you know, it was like Lecrae, Tripoli, Tekashi, mm-hmm. Show Baraka, and then like Dylan Chase. I heard about Dylan Chase back then too. And it's funny because like the story with him, that's just crazy. But then like, you know, and fast forward to 2010, I was like, yo, like, you know, I'm going to start rapping. That didn't do well. And then I just, in my pursuit of music, and it was just like, oh, I realized like I have a talent in production. And I try to tell people that all the time, like sometimes you might want to go one way with music and God could be like, no, your calling is in this, but it's still in music, but it's this, you know what I mean? And I feel like there's a lot of artists that I've seen that end up doing that, whether like, for instance, No Big Deal. He started off as Derek Minor's tour manager.
Yeah, he was working. Yeah, I heard about that whole story.
He was his manager. And like from then, like, you know, as he was doing that, he was working on music and Derek was like, nah, bro, you need to go do your own music. And ended up firing him.
You can't work for me no more.
Pretty much like, oh, you're fired, go make an album. Yeah. and
not bad.
And it happened, like it worked out for Dill because Dill got a deal and all that stuff.
Yeah,
and
he then did he get came, a deal.
Mm-hmm. And now he's like, you know, one of the independent Christian hip hop artists that's just killing it right now. You know,
is he
I mean?
Still independent though? I thought he signed a Capitol.
No, he
how did that work?
Independent now. He's independent now.
Was that just for like an album or a record or?
There's more details that I'm not going to say.
No worries, but, no stress.
But yeah, things didn't work out. Uh-huh. And he ended up going, you know,
interesting
independent, which is good for him.
Which is the wave nowadays, you know?
Well, I mean, like that's the main thing. Like I try to, like one thing I've learned is like actually you got to ask yourself these questions when you're signing a deal is like, whether it's with a manager, whether it's with, you know, a record label, anybody, I would say like, what can they do that you can't, you know what I mean? And nowadays, like back in the day, it was like, yo, like I can't do distribution. Like, I don't know how to get a deal
there
with that.
No DistroKid, there was no none of that. Yeah, yeah.
There was no none of that. And there was no way to even just upload your music to be shown. Like you can go to the studio, record, but you can't like put it on the web. Like there was no really real website.
Yeah, the internet got rid of the middleman,
Yo, yeah. And then like, you know, when SoundCloud dropped, that was a game changer. And word. And then when, you know, TuneCore, DistroKid, all those dropped, it was like, whoa, like, you know, what can these labels really do for me? For you know sure. what I mean? For I sure. saw on the other day that this one kid, no label, no backing, anything. He just made a song. And he's still not signed to a label from what I'm heard, but he's like number one on the global Spotify charts.
That's and ridiculous.
Yeah. And he was just, and the song's not even that bad. It's just catchy. Wow. And I was like, huh, like this dude, you know, he just proves that he doesn't need a label or anything like that.
Yeah, sure.
Exactly.
Sure. Yeah. That much more, I believe, though, it is it necessary for artists or even like managers, because I do believe there's still quite an importance in managers for
artists. Sure,
it's not knocking them out, they're not needed, it's just like different jobs now that need to be done, we need to be very also in tune with what's taking place with the law, because with how easy it is to do all these things now, you know, we should be making more money, let's say, with uploading songs on Spotify, stuff like, you know, streaming stuff like that, bro. It's like, I mean, it's unreal, but you know, but like that takes lawyers, that takes people, entertainment business. So it's like, it truly is a business because people are making millions, if not billions of dollars, you know?
Bro, I know. I got a check from Capital the other day and it was like $24.
What?
And I was just like, for a whole year.
Are you kidding me, bro?
I'm not kidding. I was like, especially for producers, like people don't understand the percentage that producers get. And it's like
20% of a 0.01%.
Bro, it's like percents of a percent. And it's so sad, man. It's ridiculous how much they take from you. And even just in general, like, that's why, like, I try to do what I do now. Like, I've made it so adamant to make me as a producer more of an artist, because
I really do like that. I think that's
because it makes sense, man. Like, now producers can truly shine if they really know how to market themselves properly. Yeah. Like, we got so many things, like social media, all this type of stuff, to be able to do things. Like, I just signed up for TikTok right before I came on here right now. And the only reason was because I saw a profile on Instagram. The guys from Cinematics.
Yeah. You know
what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Like Steven with the Sam. And all uh-huh. that. Yeah. Uh-huh. So I think it was Steven's profile. I want to say it was his, but if it wasn't, I'm sorry. But I could swear it was him that said that producers need to take advantage of TikTok. Hmm. And I was just like, how? Like, how so?
Word.
And he was saying how, like, he makes videos of just like him, like, making beats, and he gets in the short amount of time that he signed up on TikTok, started making those videos, he got like 24,000 followers just from making videos.
And maybe I should do that.
You do dope videos too. I've seen your videos, man. And thanks, like, bro. Cause I like the videos like yours, and like, dude, what's his name? Shaq Zula.
His real name is Matitz. He's
I can't say that.
Yeah, him. Soul Brother Steph, who's now Dad's son.
Oh yeah, I think I've heard.
He changed his name to Dad's son. Bro, there's some gnarly. What's his name? He's got like short black hair.
There's another dude named Brandon Guerra that I actually made a beat. He does OP1 stuff. Like,
That's dope.
OP1's dope, but like, I like watching OP1 videos and stuff.
Oh, for those of you who don't know what OP1 is, bro, do you want to elaborate? Just super.
Yeah. So Teenage Engineering, there's a company called Teenage Engineering, and they make incredible like equipment. And an OP1 is basically like a beat machine.
Yeah, like a MIDI controller.
It's like a crazy beat machine though. Word. Like you can record into it, you can put an antenna on it and record from the radio. Like,
I know that.
Yeah. Bro? They got really crazy stuff on there. And like, you can basically, like, the song that I did, Block Me Back, by No Big Deal. I produced that with my friend Emu. His real name's Ethan Mueller, but he goes by Emu. And I heard his track through Instagram, through the videos. I was like going through the search thing, and I heard like the piece that he did, and I was like, yo, like, I need to contact this dude. We got to collab on this track and give it to No Big Deal. And that was when No Big Deal was signed to Capitol Records. Uh-huh. And sure enough, me and Ethan became pretty good friends. And me and him produced that track. And that was an OP1 track. He was doing OP1 stuff, bro, on there.
Very dope.
And I collabed with him through, you know, he sent me his OP1 stuff. And then I put it through FL Studio and made a track through there. But
all that said, coming back to TikTok, like,
yeah, I think videos, like, and that, like I said, it helped me find Ethan Mueller on Instagram, like making videos of him beat making.
Word.
Producers need to take more advantage of like these social media things, like TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook too. Because now you can just link all of them in there, and
that's true.
Just drop a video, and my video is on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook and all that.
Word.
So I would say, like, producers need to make more beat making videos. I posted a video last night, like at midnight, and I got like almost 800 views right now on Instagram, on IG, just from me like doing like a little instruction video, just because my friend gave me a Chaotica eyeball.
That's right.
Yeah, shout out to Igami.
Yeah,
he makes
some slapping kicks, bro.
He'll tell you the story about that. He did an interview, or he's talked about it before, like on Instagram. But he said that I was the reason why his drums are the way they are.
Nah.
Yeah. Because when I first met him, we met and we were doing a documentary, or we were doing a whole album with Dylan Chase.
Yes. You guys went out for the weekend or something. Mm-hmm. And I saw that.
We went, Dylan took us to this like cabin in the woods, and sounds creepy, but he like took us to this cabin. And we were there with no reception, nothing. Like, we were barely had any like technology. We had,
is that also in Oklahoma?
Yeah, it was. It's in Broken Bow. I think it's called Broken Bow, Oklahoma.
Middle of nowhere.
Beautiful place.
That's what usually middle of nowhere is.
It's beautiful. It was like in the mountain area of like Oklahoma. And
dang, I don't know Oklahoma had mountains.
Yeah, bro. Yeah, it's like
really, I haven't been there yet.
It's like really flat. It's like really flat on one side, and on the other side, it's like all mountainy.
Cool.
So we went to this area, and it was really, really beautiful. It was dope. It was like a group of us and a few producers, and that was the first time I met Matt or Igami, and Dylan met him. I forgot where he met him. I don't remember how he met him, but. He was telling me, oh yeah, like Igami used to be an intern at Reach Records. He did like audio engineering there and stuff like that. And I was like, oh, cool.
That's crazy.
So we brought him on just to do engineering, just to do like mixing and mastering. We did not know that he was a producer and all these other things. Like, he sings as well.
Really?
And yeah. He just dropped a song like a week ago, if I'm not mistaken. It's on Spotify. I forgot what it's called. I forgot what it's called, but if you search up Igami, Egomi, you'll find it right now. But he does a lot of those things, and like, so the next thing you know, like, you know, Dylan invites him to this you know, cabin with us. This dude brings like guitars, a bass guitar, like different guitars, a bass guitar, all the wires in the world,
waiting on you.
Yeah, and then like
that's the song.
Oh, waiting on you. Yep, waiting on you. I thought you were saying he was waiting on us. I was like, yeah. It went pretty well. Yeah. So he brought all these things. He brought like a trumpet, everything. And we're like, you're just gonna do audio engineering. You're not really gonna produce. So we thought he was like one of those guys that was just going too overboard. Little did we know, this dude was incredible. Like,
wow,
he's an incredible producer, sound designer. Like, he does amazing melodies.
And how old is he?
He's like 22, 23.
Nice. He's probably been doing it for a long time though. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. He's been,
start him young, folks. Start him young.
He was doing it for quite a while. And like, you know, when I say sound designer, like he makes really dope kits. He has
I bought one of his jet lag kits.
Yeah. He has like jet lag, guitar loops, volume one, volume two that just dropped. He has the organ loops. So the organ, his mom and his dad actually gave him an organ.
Tight.
That was like broken. It was a broken organ. So like he made like music. He was making like loops and melodies through a broken organ. So it sounds killer. Like it sounds wow. crazy. That's but nice. But yeah, Igami, man. Like I would say like he's just incredible, dude. He's one of my best friends. He actually was in my wedding too. He was one of my
That's right. Men, so which you just recently got married a few was it?
I got married May.
In May. Yeah, this year.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, this year.
And a big crazy. Round of applause for Obi.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. It was crazy. It was a crazy wedding. It was very stressful because we were planning.
As weddings are.
Yeah, we were planning from back and forth. Like we were planning. She lived in Canada and I was living in San Antonio at the time. Well, Oklahoma and then San Antonio. Uh-huh. So I was in Oklahoma, but I was like, why do I need to renew my lease if, you know, I'm about to get married in a few months? So I moved down to San Antonio for like 3 months and then moved up to Canada. So
you're Canadian. Hey.
Canadian.
Hey.
Everybody says that.
Isn't that funny, bro? Like you got a phrase that comes with you now, whatever.
I always did though, because I'm Mexican. So, everybody would be like, oh, that
it was way, like, it was way.
Way or fool. What up, fool? Yeah, fool.
Bato. Like,
Bato. That's hilarious.
And you still speak Spanish, yeah?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. Dope. I'm not extremely fluent, but I'm a little bit. I'm Tex-Mex, bro. I'm Tejano.
Tex-Mex. I know you, bro.
They call him Tejano. So.
So question, bro. For those people who are currently pursuing music and such.
Yeah.
What would be a little gold nugget you'd love to share? Maybe something you always share, maybe something that you just recently learned that could challenge them to, you know, continue pursuing this, but in a wise manner from your experience and what God's been showing you.
Make a schedule. Make a schedule because there's a lot of things. Make a schedule, consistency. Those are like the two biggest things that I'm like definitely learning right now more so. Like I mean back
now they
then
have more responsibilities. Yeah.
Right. Because when I first started, like I said, I was having a lot more fun. Like I was just doing it for fun. Yeah. It wasn't like, oh, I gotta do this. This is gonna be my life, like career type of stuff. Like it was nothing like that. I realized that it was gonna be my career in 2014. It was in 2014. And I started doing it like in 2010, 2011, like started playing around with music. And then 2014, I was like, this is going to be my career when I was like, I went from having four jobs to just be making. Wow. And it was scary because like I was letting go job one, job number two, and then job number three. And then I was on my final job and making beats. And then I realized I just sold a beat for the same amount that I worked 2 weeks in this job.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay.
Bye.
Yeah, exactly.
Bye,
yeah, exactly. So when I did that, and it helped me too, because I was living with my grandmother and my grandfather at the time. And so I didn't have to pay for rent. I had bills, but I just didn't have to pay for rent. And
that's clutch, bro.
Bro, it helped me so much.
That's God's favor, man.
Yeah, because I was able to still make money, still be able to provide for myself, be able to pay my bills and some, you know what I mean?
That's good.
And then, at the time, I didn't have to worry about schedule. I didn't have to worry about consistency as much, other than like consistently making beats.
Yeah, for sure.
Like that was it. But scheduling, like the fact that I didn't manage myself properly, my time and my schedule, like at the, like work on that early really affected me when I got married. Cause I realized like, I can't be doing some of the things like I used to do anymore. Like,
I can't make beats till 3 a.m. and
I still do that if I need to because this is my job. Like, my wife actually understands that, you know what I mean?
And plus, there are headphones, which is nice.
Yeah, well, I mean, we have a downstairs, like a we have a basement, so it's, you can't really hear it.
Oh, okay, tight.
Praise God. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Praise God. I'm in my basement and my wife can still hear everything, bro.
My wife actually comes down here at times and
you got a couch down there, right?
Yeah. We just bought a couch.
That's my problem, bro. I got a drum set here and then the rest of here, there's nowhere to sit.
I'll make the room for that because I was just like, you know, I put the couch here because I was like, I had originally wanted to get a studio, like a whole building outside of my house, so I wouldn't have to bring work home. But then I'm like, you know what? Like, the fact that I'm able to work at home and have my wife right here, and the kids is really awesome because, like, my sons come downstairs and they're like watching me make beats and they enjoy that.
They're like, yo, that was fire.
Yeah.
Put some distortion on the 808.
my wife and too, she'll come down here and, like, you know, lay on the couch with the blanket and just chill. And awesome. I love that type of stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But back to what I was saying about, like, just as far as like consistency and time management, like, I had none of it. No scheduling, nothing like that. I didn't even know how to do it, you know? So.
Because there is an art to it, you know? There is a way to go about it.
There's a proper way to go about it. And I would say, like, man, like, praise God for my wife because she actually helped me with that. And it was like a couple months ago, maybe a month and a half now, I had like a really, God really convicted me of it like a month and a half ago. Just like, I was like, man. And I remember just texting a bunch of people like, I'm sorry, I didn't do this. I'm sorry, I didn't. Like, there's a bunch of artists I was texting, like, apologizing to them because I was like, you know, like, I've realized I have a problem with it and I need to fix it. So,
and it is wrong, right?
You say it is wrong. So it's wrong.
You got to do it.
Yeah, it's wrong because I was not letting my yeses be my yeses. And my nose be my nose. Like, I was saying yes to everything when I shouldn't have.
Which is also dangerous. Yeah.
Yeah. It's very dangerous because then you have so much on your plate and you don't realize, like, yo, like, and then there's people that I forget about and I'm like, man, I'm not even trying to forget about you or I'm not even, and they think that I'm dodging them. It's like, nah, it's nothing like that. It's like my plate is extremely full.
Yeah.
And like, I have to like write down people's names now. Like, I have a board, a whiteboard where I have names and stuff like that on, trying to fix. And it's just like, the other thing that I would say though too is, on the other hand, to artists, I would say also, like, y'all guys have to remember that producers are humans too. Like, I feel like there's a lot of times artists say, like, oh, bro, you don't have my beat, da da da. But they don't realize, like, these producers have lives as well.
Yeah.
I know, like, for me, I struggle with, you know, depression and anxiety. So when I'm going through a depression spell or something like that, like, it cripples me. Like, I don't want to do anything that day. I don't want to talk to anybody that day. I really just want to not do nothing. And, like, you know, my wife knows those days too. She's been, you know, pretty she's learning how to, like, be better with that with me, because it's hard, like, living with somebody who, like, is diagnosed with anxiety and depression and PTSD and stuff like that. And I try to let artists know, like, man, you know, I wish I would be a little bit more understanding. And but I understand, you know, they're a part too, but they have to always, like, have to keep that in mind. Like, yo, like, this dude is a human being. Like, he has you know, things that come up. And like, I'll tell you a story. Like, there's two artists right now that I'm working with that at the time that they hit me up, it was last year.
Yeah.
And at that time I had just got engaged. I'm planning my wedding. My grandmother just passed away. Which my grandmother, there's some people that are know me from Instagram and stuff, like, yeah, they know like, my grandmother was the world to me. And you know, she was like my second mom. And, you know, when she passed away, that like took me out for a while. And, we, you know, at the time I was trying to raise money for that. And at the same time plan a wedding, like it was so difficult. So like, I'm just now like catching up, like with some of the work that I had planned from last year. And a lot of that had to do with my time management, but a lot of that also had to do with my depression and stuff like that too, you know? And at the same time, right after that, I'm like learning, or I'm moving to Canada, from San Antonio, getting married, like being, learning how to be a stepdad to four teenagers. That was insane to me, you know? So,
and people are like, you don't make beats. Like,
yeah. I need my beat. Yeah, exactly. And it's like, bro, I'm not a beat machine. Like I'm not, you know, that myself, like
I wouldn't mind maybe, but hey,
that would be awesome if I could make, you know, 20 beats in like, you know, a couple hours, but like, I'm not like, sure. There's some people that can do that and God bless them. But,
and then there's a difference between quality sound and, you know, exactly. It's like, it's not, oh, just make me a beat. It's like, hey, I don't want to just send you anything.
And that's the thing. I heard a producer say the other day, I'm not going to say his name, really, really well-known producer. And he said that he makes beats every day, whether they're trash or not. And then, you know, he puts them out for sale. And I was just like, I can't do that. Like, I can understand some people can do that. And some people might be like, oh, you know, this is dope. I just can't do that. Like, I really try to take, you know, pride in what I do.
Because you want your name on it.
My name is going to be on it, especially like with my producer tag that everybody enjoys now. It's like, okay. Let me clarify that too.
Yeah.
It says OB, not on B. Everybody thinks that. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I'm so sorry. That's totally correct.
Hey, you're not the only one. I'll tell you what, like everybody.
Hey, it's fire though, bro.
Thank you, man.
Do you have it set to a specific BPM? Do you like?
Nah. Like,
it just fits perfectly somehow in every song.
Well, I mean, I cut it, you know, sure that it's, well, because like I have the O separated from the B, so I plug them in and
Oh, do you?
Yeah,
that makes total sense.
Yeah, though. And then I put a delay effect in it.
Is that your voice?
It is.
Wow.
Yeah. Outside, man. I did that the first time. My friend was like, my friend Jesse. He like, we were in his bedroom. Back at his mom's house before he got married and everything, but he was in his bedroom and he was like, I think he had made me some producer tags and I was like, oh, these are cool. And I was like, I have an idea. And then I remember just like yelling, oh, B, like really loud. And then right after he like recorded me, he just looked at me. He's like, yeah, man, don't do that. My parents are asleep. And I was like, oh my. It was funny, but man, that day, I'll never forget that day I recorded that, because it was like in 2011, 2012.
Bro, it's super 2010, dope. Like, yeah. Like, I wish it's I could been, come out with something like that, man.
Man, I mean, I tell people, like producers, about their tags. Like, I tell them that they need to let it be organic.
Word.
But also let it, like, You don't want to copy everybody else's either. You want it to be original. And,
or yours. Don't copy mine.
Yeah. So, I mean, I make producer tags for people. So,
that's tight.
Yeah, like, for instance, you ever heard that song by Swoop? I'm sure you've heard the song.
His name's been popping up a lot. I don't really know about him, but I just
heard
like... You don't
know about Swoop?
I mean, so, I haven't listened to Swoop. I guess
Swoop is fire, bro. All
right, bro. I gotta get with the times.
So go back and listen to the Wake Up album by Swoop.
Swoop, yeah. With an E, right?
Start there, yeah. So it's Swoope.
Tight. Because so, I just found out he like had a commercial and then like Acura and then all this other stuff.
Bro, this is like, Swoop has been like a legend in the Christian hip hop community. Bro,
I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah, man. Like Swoop is an incredible producer and rapper, like an amazing, amazing lyricist. Tight. So Swoop has a song called All the Time, and it's like, God is good all the time.
Okay.
God, you know, so he has, it's a dope song. at the beginning, you'll hear my voice saying the producer's name. So if you go to that song,
All right.
There's a song. The song, he said, so the song's produced by my boy Kevmo. And Kevmo, I made a tag for him, and he used it on quite a few beats. So you'll hear like Kevmo, and it's like Kevmo, Kevmo, Kevmo. Like, and it like, so like you'll hear that on the Swoop song. And there's other people too. Bree K and Kasari. I don't know if you heard of them.
No, I haven't heard of them.
The two. You ever, dude, you're sleeping.
Bro, Bree K. Chill.
Bree K is a homie, man. Bree K and Kasari, they go by BXK, and they're out in Cali, Orange County in California. Yep. So they, Bree K, I made her a tag too, and it's literally my voice screaming like, Bree K! Yeah, so like you'll hear it. You'll hear it. And Kasari did her own. And it's funny, man. There's a lot of tags that I know about. Like there's just different ones that, Signature Nation. He's a producer, a friend of mine. I did his. So every time you hear Signature Nation, that's actually my son saying Signature Nation.
Nah, nah.
Yeah. So there's like people in Christian hip hop that I've like done certain things for. You've heard What Up RG, right?
Yes, sir.
You heard the song Glow?
I can't say I listen to his music. I don't like his music.
I'm not big on his, not
knocking any of your production or anything like that.
Produced for him yet. Like I haven't produced for him yet.
I'm not my flavor, bro.
I have actually produced for him. What am I talking about? Yeah, I did the song with him and No Big Deal, didn't I? I did that beat with them. And
yeah, I thought you did.
What else? Oh,
and no disrespect to What Up RG, you know, like I don't know the dude. I just like I'm quite picky with what I listen to.
I understand. And there's people that don't like my beats and stuff either. So
sure. I love your Latin beats, bro. Oh man, I get some Latin. Yeah. Question: where do you get your samples?
Everywhere.
Do you use the Splice? I use Splice.
I use Sounds, Splice. And then I look around for other things too. Like I have a drum kit coming out. And I have a drum kit, and it's originally it was supposed to be like a Latin drum kit, but I changed it to just because
You made all these sounds yourself?
I made a lot of all these sounds, yeah. All of them I didn't make them myself. These are all just like things that I created from other beats too. I originally, like I said, I was supposed to be doing a drum kit. I was going to call it El Gallo drum kit. and like, it was supposed to be just Latin themed, but then I started making other sounds and I was like, yo, I love this snare that I made. I like this kick that I did. I like this 808 that I created.
Yeah.
I'm just going to put them in this drum kit I'm going to call it Ambi Music Volume 2, like Drum Kit Volume 2, because I had
a safe route.
I had a Volume 1 drum kit that I put out in 2015.
Wow, and you are overdue for a drum kit, sir.
Yeah. People have been asking. So I put this drum kit together. It's something dope. I really enjoyed it. I've been working on it for a year now. And
is there any like melodies and stuff on there too?
Yeah, there's some melodies on there. That's what I was going to say. So there were some melodies that I actually made that are like, one of them's an accordion melody. Oh, cool. And it actually like the accordion melody, like accordion is like my second favorite.
It's a super dope instrument, bro.
It's my second favorite instrument. So my first instrument.
And it's very traditional. And
very
also traditional in Polish music, which is where
I've heard that they've pretty much you know they got influenced by. But like in Latin culture, like in Texas especially, we really like cumbias. And cumbias have a lot of like accordion in it, and like in Tejano music, Tex-Mex music, Tejano music. It's they have a lot of accordion in it, and like I went to college. When I went to college, I was studying conjunto, and it's a form of it sounds like Tejanos. I'm getting into the technical stuff now, but conjunto music has a lot of accordion in it, and I really really fell in love with accordion in college. Man. So I mean, I started making I made this one accordion loop that was like really, really dope to me, because I was like, yo, I actually made this. You know, it's really cool. And I always have a big trouble with like melodies. So
as a drummer and as a fellow drummer, I know, bro, I would love to know how to kill it on the piano. I just can't. I know it sounds good.
But yeah. And the thing is like, you don't like now I can actually learn how to play the piano. It's just the time, like, you know, I could sit down and just actually like go through some of these YouTube videos. But part of me is just like, I got other stuff to do, man. Word.
And then part of me is like, I'll just find a piano sample.
So, yeah, I get a lot of my stuff from Splice and stuff. Like that. But I get a lot of one shots, too. Like, I get a lot of one shots from Splice and sounds. And the reason why is because, like, so there's times where I just plug it in and I just start playing certain things, and then if I like it, I'll record it.
Dope.
I do a lot of stuff with my mouth too, like as far as like making melodies with my mouth and with the chaotic eyeball.
That's a big, it's a big upgrade, man. I think it's been a massive game changer. Like, I got it on sale. I think I got it for like $150.
Really? That's good.
I know. I'm like, oh, I don't know if I should be buying this, but I had insulated like my whole room, but it's still not that good because, you know, I got stuff rattles, all this stuff. It's much better now. But when you have not a great mic and then you still need, you know, a proper booth, and that thing is an amazing investment. So for you guys recording vocals, do the $200 investment or however much it costs. It's
And I would say like, there's a lot of people that say, oh, they don't like it and stuff. And the more sound engineers that don't like some of it because they say that it doesn't get... Because
they're snobs.
I would say, yeah, they are.
They're audio snobs.
But I mean, for me personally, I really enjoy it. Like, if for me, like making sounds, that some of the sounds that I made yesterday...
just playing around some kicks and stuff.
Yeah,
like that.
I was like, "Yo, like this is nuts!" Like, I made a tom, like I made like some melodies with it and stuff like that. So,
awesome.
And like I said, a lot of these are going to be on my drum kit, and I did like make a lot of these sounds. And there's like a few like that I used from my previous drum kit, just because I felt like not a lot of people bought it, and I was going to add these to there, but. All like I have 117 sounds on there, 118 sounds on there, and I made like all of them like from my own.
Dang.
Yeah. So it's been dope, man. It's been I've been really encouraged by some of the feedback I've gotten. I sent it to a few people. I'll send it to you too. But
hey, bro, I'll do a finger drumming video.
Hey, dude, I'm down.
I'm down.
Hey, real. I'm trying to do. I'm like for people that I sent it to. I'm trying to get them to do videos.
Bro, I'll do a video. I'll do a video right away.
I'm dropping it next week. So
guys, if you are interested in Ambeat's OBs, I should say. I feel weird.
Same difference.
Yeah, whatever.
Same difference.
OB sounds nicer. If you want to get access to the drum kit that he's going to be dropping, you could follow him on Instagram, and that would be just Ambeat Music, right?
Yeah,
just
the link will be, at Ambeat Music on Instagram. But the link will be in my bio. I'll have it on my link tree and stuff like that, my website, whatever, because my website
is pretty much Linktree is amazing, bro.
Dude,
I can't, like,
I'm telling you.
They blocked it for a while, and then so many people complained that they put it back.
Really?
They made it like Instagram decided, we're not going to allow you guys to do like multiple links on the link. Yeah, they did it for like a month or two, and people were like, are you kidding me, bro?
When did they do that?
That was this year, bro.
Really?
Yeah, I remember because I was pissed.
I didn't know that.
That's an amazing thing. You have one link and you get to like 10 different things, you know?
Yeah, because like it got me to... That's literally my website. Like when you type in ambeatmusic.net, like it's...
Your
it
link
goes
tree?
Straight to my link tree. And it has my Spotify playlist.
Yeah, that's huge, bro.
My actual Spotify, like... profile, and then it has like my SoundCloud where you can go buy beats from there, and then now I'm gonna put up like my drum kit, like
because like I've recently, so a year ago or two, I made a website on Squarespace, I think last year.
Yeah,
but like, dude, the money you're spending on this website is absurd, right?
Yeah, and I had Squarespace
go to
too.
Websites nowadays, and it's just like, you know what, just get a domain and whatever, you know what I'm saying? Like
I had Squarespace too, and that's where I had that's where I had my original drum kit at first. Word. And then I was like paying so much. I was like, this is stupid, dude. Like, yeah. So I ended up, you know, scratching that and just getting.
And not to say that this is the way to go for everyone, right?
Yeah. But
for you guys listening, make sure you figure out like what is a wise way to go about what you're doing. You know,
I would say Linktree for sure. If you are a producer, I would say like find, because there's producers that, you know, want to do Airbit and or like BeatStars and stuff like that. Yeah. Or are they the same now? I forgot.
I'm not sure.
Yeah. So like, you know, the beat stores, basically the stores where they want to have a beat store or whatever. I know Airbit is pretty dope and I know people that are on Airbit and,
do you sell your beats on that or do you just
on
SoundCloud?
And then actually I barely do SoundCloud anymore. I mean, I put them up and there's something coming out on SoundCloud next week too, but I can't say anything yet. But,
and there's so many updates.
Yeah. I don't want to drop it yet. I don't want to tell people yet. I want to wait till the day of. Y'all won't know what day. It's the same day I'm releasing the drum kit. That's for sure. But I won't even tell you that day either. I barely do SoundCloud anymore. I do.
It's definitely died down. It has died down tremendously.
I beg to differ. I feel like it's coming back up because they're doing distribution through there now too.
Are they really?
Yes. And I just got paid through SoundCloud the other day and it was like, it wasn't much, but I would like,
you bought know, you a Whataburger?
I wish, bro.
Bro,
I don't have it in Canada.
That one time you made that one commercial thing, I was so shocked they didn't pay you, bro.
I know. It was all good. I mean, I got some good feedback from them and Whataburger was cool. They actually liked it and everything. And
sorry, that was the quick tangent.
Yeah. But I was saying like SoundCloud's actually been killing it now. I feel like they've been doing really a lot better. They took advantage of like the distribution stuff and you can really monetize your stuff and get paid through there too, through plays and stuff.
Dope.
So
I gotta look into that because I got like 14,000 plays in total on my music.
Yeah, I have some
more stuff than anywhere I have. Like literally more than everything else I've combined. And what's so dope about SoundCloud, which I really, really, really enjoy, is one pro account. When you pay for the pro account, then you can have like no commercials for like $2.
Yeah.
I can't stand commercials.
Yeah.
And secondly, you can upload unlimited music. Right.
Yeah.
And you could private all of it. So all the music, like literally all the music I make, it all goes on SoundCloud. I put it on private and I listen to it myself. Yeah. And then you could send that playlist to somebody privately.
So that's what I have.
And you can reset the link if you want nobody to have access to it anymore. It's really, really clever.
So I'm doing that now too, like with certain beats, like cool. I have it on private and stuff. But like, usually what I've been doing has been, I've been selling beats just straight from Instagram. I post a video of me like making a track and stuff like that, it's literally like I get hit up like, yo, how much for that beat? Da, da, da.
Man, that's and crazy, bro.
I sell it right off of there. Like, man. And before I would just advertise it. I used to just advertise the beat. Like I used to like record my screen of like, you know,
yeah.
Being on SoundCloud, I'll put it on SoundCloud and I'll record my screen of me playing it.
Uh-huh.
And then like people will go to SoundCloud and listen to it. Now I record a clip of me making a beat on Instagram and boom, I get hit up. And
that's clutch, bro.
It's crazy, man. Like, cause there would be beats I wouldn't even be finished with. And like, people are like, I'll buy that beat. And I'm like, whoa, let me finish it.
Good question. As somebody who, I'd be totally down to sell beats, right? I just haven't marketed myself like that. Mm-hmm. So maybe I've slightly failed to do so. But I would like to do that. So when you go about selling the beat and then you also go about royalties. You don't just give exclusive rights without royalty percentage, right?
Right. Nobody does.
Okay.
Nobody
so does.
Like
so
a producer always owns a portion of their track, even if they sell it exclusively. Like cool. Artists think that it's exclusive. Like, oh, that means it's mine. It's like, nah, bro. Like, it's yours. Like, nobody else can rap on it, but the producer still gets percentages. Like,
yeah. You gotta set those out. Yeah.
There's typical, like 50% on the publishing is typically what is given to a producer. So publishing is always 50% unless there's like a collab, like if it was two producers, then they would get 25-25.
And then the publishing you collect through BMI or?
Like ASCAP, stuff okay. like that. Yeah. Okay. And cool. then.
And then do you send out contracts for them to sign before you send beats?
Usually we do that. But I mean, sometimes I don't. And for like indie artists, I really don't do it. Mm-hmm. I probably should. But because my wife was telling me, do you do contracts, babe? And I was like, not really. Like, I only do them whenever I'm working with labels. Like,
yeah.
Like, you know, any label that I work with, I always have a contract. And my manager usually takes care of a lot of it.
You do have a manager?
I do.
Yeah. Nice. That's super tight, bro.
See, I do because when I first started or when I first... So the one who approached me was Doc Watson from RMG. So Doc approached me and he was like, yo, we want to sign you as a, you know, in-house producer to RMG. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow. And he goes, and I want to be your manager, you know? And I was like, wow, like that's incredible. Wow. I was like, wow, that's incredible. Yeah. Cause like Doc, a lot of people, if you don't know Doc, like Doc is one of the big reasons why Christian hip hop is where it's at right now.
Okay.
Cool. And Doc does a lot of behind the scenes stuff for every single person in Christian hip hop. Like a lot of the big name, popular names that you know of, a lot of the big events like South by Southwest, A3C, a lot of those things wouldn't have happened if it wasn't Doc, you know, being somewhat orchestrated, affiliated with it.
Wow.
Doc isn't, like a genius when it comes to like, you know, marketing, all that type of stuff, like business stuff, music business. Doc knows pretty much everybody. So like, you know, CHH has a lot of credit, should be given a lot more credit to Doc, in my opinion. Like, and I think they do, but you know, a lot of people don't know. And I know Doc, he's really humble.
Yeah, I haven't heard of him before.
That's the thing. Doc is a really humble dude that a lot of people don't know. You mm-hmm. know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And that's why.
And for humble people, they don't need to be known, you know?
No, he don't even ask for that.
But
that's the dope thing. Like Doc does not ask for any of that stuff. So that's the cool thing. Like Doc is literally like somebody you want in your corner and on your side just because he is incredible, man. He's a really, really dope dude. There's a lot of things that I wouldn't have been able to do or be where I'm at right now if it wasn't for Doc. Like some of the fan base that I have, you know, the songs that I've done with like RMG, some of the events that I've DJed at, you know, the big tour I did with Derek Minor and the Newsboys. I wouldn't have gone on that if it wasn't for Doc.
Do you like going on tour, bro?
I do. I do until I don't.
But, okay.
That's probably the best way. I do until I don't. Like
until you're over it.
Yeah, until like I'm already like in my whatever city it is and I'm just like, oh, I want to go home already. Mm-hmm. Because I did my biggest tour I did it for 4 months.
Oh, dear God.
Yeah. It was.
That's extreme, bro.
It was like 43 cities. And it was with the Newsboys, Sidewalk Prophets, Derek Minor, Blanca, Seven Time Down. You know, it was a lot of people there. And it was for Big Church Night Out. It was this big event. And we were doing stadiums all across like America.
Jeez, man.
It was incredible. And it was dope. And then it wasn't at times. And the reason why is because people don't understand that. You don't just, it's not like, oh, I'm going to go on tour. And then you just like, oh, you're going to sit in a like tour bus and be all like whatever. And like, don't get me wrong. Like we were in a tour bus. It was beautiful. It was dope. It was fun. But then like you get annoyed by some people.
Oh, for sure. It's like living with someone.
Yeah, but you're living on a bus with 12 people, and that's not including you. You know, there's just different people, different personalities. You know, and you'll get annoyed at times, and at times they'll get annoyed by you. And yeah, so I mean, the tougher part is like when we were touring, we were doing shows. Like we would go out on Wednesday night. We would leave Wednesday night.
Yeah,
and have a show Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So no church.
Dang.
No church. Like if you're a Christian, you know, for me, 4 months not being able to be in a church, like with my church family, that really was hard.
Yeah.
Like my pastor was calling me every week and we were talking, like, you know, just giving updates and praying for each other. I had Dylan Chase. He's one of my best friends. He would come out and surprise me at certain shows. And I'm like, what the heck?
He's like, I'll bring the church to you.
For real, yeah. And he did, you know, whenever he came, just the fellowship was great. And not saying that I didn't have a good fellowship on the tour.
Oh, no, I get it though, bro.
Yeah, it wasn't, and not to say anything against Derek or anything either, because he was never the problem. Derek was actually really encouraging and really like helped me through a lot of my struggles while I was on tour too. Mm-hmm. Cause like when I was on tour, I had just got out of like this bad season in my life of depression, mm-hmm. and I learned about my depression right before that. I learned about my anxiety and PTSD right before that. And, you know, Derek was one person that really helped me while I was on tour. And I'll never forget those moments that we had too.
That's good, man.
So, you know, it's a big learning experience. It's a huge learning experience. Yeah, and it's a big responsibility. And I just hate when artists are just like, yeah, I'm gonna go on tour. And it's like, bro, you don't even know what tour means. You don't know what tour means until like, you're holding, like you're taking care of merch, unloading and loading merch every day, even in the snow. Word. Like, bro, you don't know what that means.
Yeah,
and then like, you know, missing your family, you know, missing your church family.
Yeah.
Like, you know, just like always, those were the times where I had, and then with me, like not learning time management, it was a struggle.
I bet.
It was a struggle. There was times I would wake up late and I'd be in trouble because it's like, yo, I didn't get all my stuff down. You know what I mean? And it was tough, man. It was tough. But would I do it again? Yeah, probably. I mean, maybe not now. My wife don't let me, but like it's different. It's different now.
Yeah. For sure, bro.
Yeah,
I wanted to shed some light on something or a challenge or encourage you to look at something differently maybe you haven't heard of before regarding, and I appreciate you sharing, you know, your experience and what you've gone through with your mental health and depression and anxiety and whatnot. Mm-hmm. Something that I've been blessed to hear from my church family is not claiming something such as anxiety or depression or whatever, PTSD, claiming that as who you now are. And I only say that I'm not knocking everything you've experienced. I'm just shedding and just giving a different perspective. God is sovereign. And if you've given your life to Christ, you've become a child of God.
Mm-hmm.
His desire for you is not to experience depression, not to live with anxiety, not to live with PTSD. And quite often, many things that influence those things is the supernatural realm. So being under demonic attack, because you are a child of God, because you've painted a target on your back, also understanding that I am free in Christ Jesus. I have peace of mind. I have a sound mind. I haven't been given a spirit of fear, but of love and a sound mind, right? So within having the Holy Spirit live inside of you, understanding that he overpowers any demonic attack over your mind.
Mm-hmm.
And claiming that, saying, no, I'm free in Jesus' name. I'm okay. There is, I speak against the depression that I may have had. I speak against the anxiety, whether it be a spirit of anxiousness, spirit of depression. I don't know if in your church body, you guys talk about demonic attacks, spiritual stuff that takes place.
Well, I mean, I understand that completely. Yeah. I do think though, there is like a, there's another side to where I do believe in chemical imbalances as well, where some people are born with certain like
tendencies.
Not just tendencies. It's more like the science, I would say scientifically, like, because God created science. I believe that for sure.
Sure.
And I think that like just from there's certain serotonins and hormones that don't go off in certain people's bodies the way other people get them.
Okay.
And
yeah, I got you.
And I believe that God can use certain medications as well. I know some people don't are against that, and sure. I got a lot of flack when I was on medication too. And from certain people that were believers and stuff that didn't agree with that. And I was like, man, if God can use an Advil to cure a headache and that way you can have more joy in your life, then why not, you know, he can use some of this medication as well for some people. So I've had like great conversations with people who don't agree with it and who do agree with it. But I would just be, my thing is like, I'm careful with this topic because it's very, very touchy. It's very, very...
Oh, no doubt.
It's very, very, you know, sensitive to people. And especially like when, like, there's certain people that... I think it was very insensitive for me if I were to go to somebody and be like... And not saying that you did this to me right now. I'm saying like the thing that I got from people was like, man, God is good, man. Just always remember God is good and this and this and that, or be in prayer. And it's like... The one thing that I notice about Christians who struggle with this is that you got to remember, like, they know that. Mm-hmm. They know, like, God is good. They know. And that's why it's a problem to them, because it's like, man, like, I know God is good and I know God is sovereign. I know he's in control of this stuff. And I try to tell people from my experience, like, the fact that I knew that God is sovereign. I knew that God was in control. That's why it was making it so like not understanding for me why I was going through everything I was going through. And yeah, I feel like there was a lot of things in the midst of it. I felt like the devil was definitely in it. I felt like there was like definitely attacks that I was being hit by certain things. Because when you're low, you know, that's one thing that the devil loves. Yeah. The one thing that the devil loves is when you're low.
You doubt
God. You know, you doubt everything he's ever, you doubt the cross, the blood of Jesus, you doubt everything. And, you know, your mind is wrapped up more in, more on like your sorrow, everything that comes with the depression. And it's tough, man. It's tough. And that's why I'm really, you know, sensitive with that, because
for sure.
The one thing I would always tell people, like, is to listen, to those who are going through it.
Oh yes.
Amen. Listen, like, be try not to fix it, because we as people, we want to be like, especially if my friend or my wife or anybody is dealing with this, I'm like the type of person, I want to fix things.
Sure.
And I want, cause I don't want to see, you know, them hurting.
Yeah. Yeah.
So like, and nobody wants to see anybody that you love hurting. And that's why, like, just out of good, out of you just being like out of love and everything,
compassion,
you
want to try
compassion. Yeah. You're trying to like want to fix things by saying, you know, well, you know, let's you know, man, you know, God is good. This and that. And, but sometimes the best way to show love to people who struggle with depression is just listening, like letting them vent to you, because they at this point right now, they feel like nobody understands them. Yeah. And
the worst thing could be is them not say anything. Right.
Yeah. Like, cause sometimes when we say things, like, you know, especially when we're Christians and we're saying things like, you know, certain scriptures and stuff like that, man, that's great. But the fact of the matter is your Christian friend who's struggling with this knows that. And they know those same scriptures. They know that God is sovereign. They know that God is love and a person who gives peace. But at the moment right now, they're going through it, and that's not what they need to hear. Mm-hmm. And as much as some people might not agree and be like, well, you know, that's something we always need to hear. You just got to understand, like Jesus, like, was compassionate. Jesus was, Jesus didn't tell, the sisters when Lazarus died, he didn't go and say like, God is good. God is, you know, doing this. God is like, he actually cried with them.
Yeah.
So it's like, that's what I tell people. It's like, yo, show compassion. Like, cry, if they want to cry, man, cry with them. Or yeah. or if they want to actually pray, pray with them. Let yeah. them kind of lead that. You know what I mean? So,
and when it comes to sending scripture, like, I think quite often in the like Christian circle, it's like, oh, I'm just going to send a text, or I'm going to send a scripture, or I'm going to share a scripture because I feel like this might help them. But
yeah, yeah.
God leading you to send that scripture. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, are you doing this because you know you should be doing this, or are you doing this because God's led you to do that? And then there's a massive difference in that, because you sharing something out of God's word, is it timely? You know, is it going to yeah. speak to that person the way God wants it to speak to them?
The big thing too, I would say, is like when you hit your friend up that's dealing with this stuff, the one thing that my friend, Dylan, at the time, you know, at the time that I was going through everything, Dylan was actually like just showing up to my house mm. and like being like, hey man, like come stay over at my house. Or my pastor would show up randomly, and he would just be like, hey, you know, I just want to see you. Let's kick it, you know, let's hang out, whatever. He never said let's kick it, but you know, he would come over and he wanted to hang out. And then like I would get invited to go eat food. People would come pick me up.
Dope.
You know, because I think they knew, like, if they just left it to me, I would have been like, nope, mm-hmm. stay home. I'm going to stay home. And, you know, that helped me. That helped me a lot. And that helped me even realize, like, God was really looking out for me the whole time. So, mm-hmm.
That's good, man. And the only reason I shared what I shared with you is because I've seen my wife be set free from depression, anxiety.
Oh, I agree. Right? So, I think that is very true. I think, I think there's people that can actually be free from a lot of that stuff, but I also believe that there's people that are going to struggle with it to the day that they die. Like, and it's sad. I'm not saying like it's just another sickness to me that is kind of like, you know, not to say that God is not a healer. It's just that God is, like you said, is sovereign. And for me, I think that I'm actually going through what I go through, and prayerfully God will deliver me from it. I know one day he will, whether it's now or whether it's in glory. Amen. But the fact of the matter is, I think I've seen a lot of people, God use my story just for a lot of people. Amen. And just the same way, my favorite pastor of all time is Charles Spurgeon. And Charles Spurgeon actually struggled with depression throughout his whole life. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know that until I was admitted into a hospital and I found that out. I was like, whoa, that's crazy. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
But yeah, he struggled with it all his whole life. And he wrote about it like a lot in his sermons and everything. And it was really, really comforting to me to know that somebody godly like him really went through this. Because it just made me feel like, man, I'm not alone. And I think that's what God is doing with me. Not saying that I'm all godly or anything, but
holy, you know, like, OB.
You know, you know, like,
you tag
me. I'm not saying that. Like, I know I have. I'm just, you know,
I got you, bro.
A nobody. You know what I mean? Compared to like what Spurgeon was, but I would say like, but God, I feel like has given me, you know, a fan base and people who actually struggle with this too.
And
they feel like, man, I'm not alone either. Because even OB, you know, as much
there's
as he's,
hope.
Yeah, as much as he's in the light and everything right now, like he struggles with that darkness. And I'm like, yo, like it's real. So, yeah.
Yeah, man. Battle's not up against flesh and blood. It's for real.
Exactly. I agree with that for sure.
That's good. Awesome, man. I appreciate your willingness to share on this, bro. I don't really get to touch on this topic too often on the podcast, so this is dope.
Yeah.
But aside that, I think we'll wrap up, and maybe in the future we'll have you on again if you're willing. Thank you, man. For real. At the end of every episode, I try my best to, if and when possible, to have the guests pray over the listeners. Is that, would you be willing to do that, bro?
That's, well, actually, that's super, super spiritual, bro. I don't want to do that.
That's too Christian for
me. That's too Christian for me, brother.
Brother. All right. Yeah. So you pray for the listeners, bro. I'll pray and bless you. And then I'll outro out and carry on with our evening.
Most doubt. Father God, thank you for today, Lord. Thank you for everything you blessed us with. Thank you for this opportunity to be able to come and share my story. Yes. Whatever I've shared, Lord, I pray that it would encourage those who listen. I pray that it just, I pray that it inspires. I pray that I do more impacting than impress people. So I ask God that you would give grace to everybody. Pray for those who need prayer right now. And yeah, Lord, I just thank you for this time. Thank you for my bro, Isaac, for the opportunity with him as well, the fellowship. Thank you for friendship. And I just, Lord, we love you. And we pray all this in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Father, I thank you so much for OB, Lord. I just thank you for all the doors you've been opening for him to run through. I just thank you that you have blessed him so tremendously with family, Lord, and just this new experience with marriage. And I just ask you to give him wisdom as he goes about parenting and the life of a husband, pursuing business, Lord, having time management, being just simply being wise. And I believe you can give all these things to us in a perfect balance, God. So I just lift up his life and the way he spends his time. I just ask that you continue to open up more and more doors for him to be able to serve you, not only on a sonic level, but also in a spiritual level, or whether it be to speak the truth to people, share the gospel, share his testimony, pray for people, just divine appointments coming his way. Lord, I thank you so much for his time. I just ask you continue to bless his mind and his body and his home. I speak life over his mind. God, I just thank you that you are continuing each day to set him free, whether it be at all of it right now or little by little each day, so he can continue to lean on you, God. I believe that you are using all of this for your glory, but ultimately also that you will set your son free entirely so that he has total peace of mind, total free of anxiety or depression, just to add to the testament of how good you are, Lord, and how faithful you are to your word. And I just thank you so much for his time. Continue to bless him. And I say all that in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. All right, guys. Thanks so much for listening to this wonderful episode with OB. If you'd like to check out, once again, some of his stuff on IG, go on Onbeat Music. If you'd like to listen to any of his fantastic music, he could be found. If they just Googled you, would they be able to find you on like everything?
Yeah, I mean, if you go to onbeatmusic.net, you can find my Facebook, Twitter, everything. And so thank you.
If you're a rapper, singer, whoever, and you need a beat, hit your want some advice. Oh, also each Friday you do a really cool thing with Rapzilla
Critique Fridays. I do that Friday. Every
so
Friday.
If you guys are interested in having OB critique some of your music in a setting where many people get to hear your music as well and get some feedback from others, this is a really cool opportunity. But you guys do that with like 2-3 hours on Fridays? Like, this is really long, bro. That's insane.
4 hours, yeah.
That's big respect.
I don't know how you do that. I do it every Friday. I know, everybody, like, I've had guests and they're just like, yo, how do you do that? Straight hours.
The Lord.
Yeah, exactly.
That's good, man. Exactly. Praise God. Yeah, so guys, if you make music and you'd like to be heard and maybe get some good critique, and I'm not, this is what the issue is, bro. You can send your music to people, but if they don't give you honest critique, it's really a waste of time.
Exactly.
You know? So you'll get some honest. OB doesn't hold back.
Oh yeah, you'll get some honest.
He'll rip into you if it needs, or give you praise if it deserves it.
I've had 3 diss tracks because of this.
Wow.
Yeah.
Look at that. Hey, man,
from Christians.
That's when you know you make it, man.
That's so funny, bro.
That's when you know you make it. Yeah. Man, guys, so if you want to check out more of what he's doing, please do so. You can go look on Spotify, Apple Music, all these other things. If you have been blessed by this podcast in any way, shape, or form, please make sure to give it a review, 5-star, thumbs up, whatever your platform allows you to. If you feel led to sponsor this podcast financially, if it's something God's put on your heart, praise the Lord. If not, that's totally cool. Just wanted to open that up as an opportunity for you as well. aside all of these things, I'm truly appreciative of your guys' time and always tuning in and giving your feedback. And it's all for the glory of God. And
let's we got a passive collection plate for you right now.
Yes. put on the music, bro. Put the music on.
Pass the Cash App collection plate.
Wow, that'd be awesome, though.
Right? Let me know. So
funny, bro. I joked about that on one of the episodes I had with Mark Barlow, and he had said something. It sounded like a sermon. I'm like, all right, now we're going to take
collection.
Hey, funny. There is a beauty in being able to bless the body of
Christ. Amen. I agree. I agree with that.
For real. So without further ado,
thank you guys. I appreciate you, man. Thank you for having me.
All for his glory. All right, guys. Peace.
All right, see you.
All right, bro.